God's grace, His mercy, and His peace belong to you and to me. From God the Father, through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God with skin on, who took on flesh for you and me. Amen. Do you and I as Christians know how good we have it? Salvation is free to us through the blood of Jesus. Life is lived with confident peace because of the empty tomb and the promises of God. Every day is a journey with a friend who speaks to us on the road home to heaven. A gift, freedom, a friend. The Christian walk is an amazing thing. How cool is that? And oh, how great is this God-man who took on flesh that we might live. The God-man Jesus who stepped into our dilemma, who owned our issues. The God who gets us and our struggles. The God who freed us from sin and death by His death. The God with skin on. The God with skin on who physically visited this planet. That He might free us from sin and wrap us in His grace and His forgiveness forever. An amazing message of good news that you and I have, by God's grace, grabbed hold of by faith, and we have become part of this gospel-sharing ministry called being a child of God, being a Christian. You see, all of us, by virtue of being called to faith in Christ, are ministers, are servants of that gospel message. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 2. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." My friends, faith makes us partners in gospel ministry. And I hope we realize how cool that is, what that actually means. The Apostle Paul will help us this morning by telling us, assuring us, showing us that the God with skin on resets our vision, so that we see beyond this world and see our role in gospel ministry, partnership in gospel ministry. The year would have been about 61 AD. 32 years since the God with skin on had walked this planet with us. Yet His apostles, men sent out with the gospel to the world, His apostles were still doing their thing as God gave them breath, partnering in gospel ministry, preaching about Jesus. And all Paul needed was breath as he sat in a Roman prison penning these words. Now, it's important for us to know that this imprisonment of the Apostle Paul was not in the dungeon where he would sit as he wrote 2 Timothy. Paul's imprisonment here was something called house arrest. In a house, probably small room, four walls, but a guard by the front door. Paul could not come and go, probably chained to the wall, for 2 years waiting for an audience with Caesar for his trial. 2 years. Imagine your world shrunk to four walls and a small room for 2 years. Now, Paul's friends and people could come and go. So all that Paul really needed to do his job as a partner in gospel ministry was breath. To tell people about this God who took on our flesh, came to our world to free us from sin and death, the God with skin on. All Paul needed was breath to share with the people who came and went. You see, Paul made the most of his partnership in gospel ministry. But as I thought of Paul's situation, I asked myself the question, and I'll loop you in on the question. wouldn't you whine just a little bit? Whine to God Himself. If God shrunk your world down to a room with four walls, God sent you to a room, your room, a timeout for 2 years, waiting on God's time, wouldn't you whine just a bit? It never ceases to amaze me that Paul's letter to the Philippians is called his letter of joy. Because in four short chapters, 16 times he rejoices in the blessings of God as he's chained under house arrest. But again, I'll speak for myself, I know I would be tempted and I would fail under the temptation. I would whine to God. This was no five-star hotel. There was no NFL network. There was no freedom. And I ask myself, how in the world did Paul find joy in the day-to-day? Let me ask you this question. Do the circumstances of your life ever make it seem like you are living in a cage? Do the circumstances of your life ever make it feel like you are trapped and you can't get out? Some of you know the amazing blessing of medicine that can free us from cancer, yet the apprehension is always there. Will it come back? Some of us know the blessing of counseling that can help in when there's turmoil in our relationships, but then do I really have to still go home and be in that relationship? And some of us have a job and a paycheck that we thank God for, but why is it that the needs always seem to outweigh the dollars? How did Paul find joy in his cage, in his prison, that he could write this book? Well, the Apostle Paul knew the God with skin on, Jesus Christ. And Jesus helped him see beyond the horizons of his world, beyond the walls of his little room. And you see, Jesus could do that because Jesus had once been nailed to a cross for you and me. And his existence as the Almighty God who fills everything was shrunk to that place and that moment on that cross. Yet Paul knew this was the same God with skin on who had once said this to Paul and to you and me. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What truth from Jesus did Paul know that gave him joy as he sat in his cage? Well, think about this reality. As Paul was sitting in his prison cell, in his house arrest, across the Roman Empire, there would have been tens of thousands of people sitting in Roman prisons waiting to be beaten, flogged, crucified, most of them probably deserving it, many of them not deserving it. But most of them who did not know the Savior God, who did not believe in the Savior God, and they would have sat in their cells gnashing their teeth at the authorities with no vision beyond the walls because this world was all they knew. They would have tried to make this life everything. And when the authorities of the day shrunk down their world, all they could do was gnash their teeth, but not the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul was in prison for honoring the Creator. Paul was in prison for sharing the Savior. And if the world wanted to silence his voice in the world's conversation, let him do it. And one day they would, legend says, with the Roman short sword. Paul probably inspired Martin Luther to write words familiar probably to many of us. When Luther wrote this, "Take they my life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. Christ holds the field of battle forever." You see, Paul's eyes could see beyond the horizon. Paul's eyes could see beyond the walls of his cage. And you know what he saw? He saw his Savior God. He saw the God with skin on, who had took on flesh to free him from the cage of this world. And so the Apostle Paul could rejoice because life was good. The best was yet to come. But again, I myself would have whined. This is not what I envisioned when I signed up for sharing in gospel ministry. But faith does interesting things to the eyes of God's people. See, the Apostle Paul, for him, what he saw beyond the horizon, eternal life, that was the cake. He knew at the end of the menu of his life was this very sweet thing for his palate. He was going to see Jesus forever. But Paul's eyes of faith also saw the frosting on the cake. The sweetness of day-to-day living that gave him joy here in time. Let's let Paul talk about that a little bit from earlier in his letter. He wrote this: "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Paul's joy at being in chains. Dear friends, what is the one thing that you and I can take with us to heaven? That's right, it's the people. It's always the people that your life touches. You can't take your golf clubs. You can't take your Kindle books. You can't take your social media device. You can't take your truck. You can't take your dog. Don't be too unsettled. Talk to me afterwards. And you know, as much as you love the Green Bay Packers who started training camp this week, you can't take the Packers to heaven unless you tell them about Jesus, right? Paul knew his purpose in life. And his purpose was Jesus and the people, which allowed him to have joy in his circumstances because God's purpose for us is always the people around us in life. And what a joy it was for Paul to take people to heaven. And so as people came in and out of his prison house, he shared with them the greatest gift of all, the message about this God who took on flesh to blow the doors off this world, help us seeing the beyond the horizon of this life, the four walls of our cage. And Paul did that as a partner in gospel ministry, never stopping to share what really matters. This Friday afternoon, as I was sitting in my office trying to finish writing this sermon, because the last 10 days or 2 weeks of my life have been pretty full of stuff. And so I'm sitting trying to finish off this sermon, and I'm feeling caged by the process. And I have shrunk my own world down to the four walls of my office, and the writing's going pretty well. And then all of a sudden, there's a knock on my door, and it's Tammy Miller. And she says, Nate, do you have some time to talk with a Muskego police officer? And I said, oh, really? What's that about? And they said, well, they have a homeless family over by Walmart, and they were wondering if we could help them somehow. They've already fed them lunch, the officers have, but can we help? Now, my first thought was, wow, I got to get this sermon written. Whoa, and then I said, it was instantly, Lord, forgive me for Jesus' sake. That was selfish. Wow, what a God moment. This is people. And the God with skin on is saying, Nate, go and share. So off I go to Burger King and sit down with a family from Romania, gypsies from Romania, who know very little English. I caught on 2 to 3 years they've been here in the States, maybe. Homeland Security documentation making them legal to be here, but lo and behold, not able to work and have a job and pay the bills. So they were living job to job, cash under the table. Illinois plates on a Kia minivan with a steering column that would rattle at 50, 60 miles an hour, and people would honk at them and say, hey, something's wrong with your car. I met Alex, his wife, Kichu, 3 months pregnant, not feeling so well. And then Fabrizio, their 6-year-old son. Now, my frustration in the moment, by God's grace, was not this sermon. It was the language barrier. How do I share with them the message of the God with skin on, the ministry you have called me to do, the ministry we do together? How do I do that? What I did do for us is we gave them some nights in a motel. We gave them some Roundy's gift cards for food. But I can see heaven for them. And I don't know if they know Jesus. So I need to find someone who speaks Romanian Gypsy to share with them the message about the God with skin on, who has given us life forever, who can give them a vision beyond this world and beyond the four walls of their minivan. For you see, my friends, that is what we do as God's people sharing in this ministry. The God who took on flesh to save us and to save us from sin and from the cage of this world, he's given us faith to see him now. And so you and I, by God's grace, we see beyond this world. And we see our Savior Jesus. We see the God with skin on. And we are partners in this gospel ministry. Paul helps us understand from his time and place. Paul wrote this to us: I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Not that I desire your gifts. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, pleasing to God. My friends, why did God ask St. Paul's to be involved in the life of Alex and Kichu and Fabrizio? And if we were not there, or we chose not to step up to the opportunity God placed in front of us to love people, would that family have fallen through his grasp, fallen to the floor of life? Hardly. The beauty of it is that God doesn't need you and me to care for people. But every day he opens doors, giving us the opportunity to be his hands and his feet and his heart, to love people that he places into our lives. You know, Paul had learned contentment in his cage. Obviously, he had enough food and water, and he had breath to be able to preach and teach. Paul was content, and he really didn't need the Philippians' gift. Paul would have understood and liked one of our favorite hymns. Take the world, but give me Jesus. It goes like this. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, nothing to them. But his love abides forever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. You see, my friends, the Apostle Paul knew how to die in Jesus. And when that day came for him, what joy. But the Apostle Paul also knew how to live. Take the world. I don't need it. Just give me Jesus. But Paul was human, too. And what a comfort it was for him when the gifts from the Philippians arrived, gifts of love and concern. Imagine how it would have warmed Paul's heart when the face of Epaphroditus appeared in the doorway of his prison home. Philippi was a long, dangerous journey away. Yet God's people had said, we're saying, Paul, we love you, we care about you, we want to share in this struggle, and we sent our guy. And imagine Paul's face when Epaphroditus was there. Paul would have said something like, "Come in, my friend. It's so good to see you. God's love with skin on," as he gave him a hug. There's another favorite hymn that helps us summarize what it means, our role as God with skin on to our world. 491. O Master of the loving heart, the friend of all in need, we pray that we may be like you in thought and word and deed. Your days were full of kindly acts. Your speech was true and plain. Of those who ever sought you, Lord, none came to you in vain. Your face was warm with sympathy. Your hand God's strength revealed. Who saw your face or felt your touch were comforted and healed. Oh, grant us hearts like yours, dear Lord, so joyous, free, and true, that all your children everywhere be drawn by us to you. My friends, God with skin on is who we are. It's what we do. What a privilege to be the hands, the feet, the heart of our God. Alex, Kichu, Fabrizio, that unborn child so dear to God, what of them? I don't know. I need to find someone who speaks Romanian Gypsy. But the beauty is that our God is in his heavens, the God with skin on who sees beyond the horizons for them. Our God will take care of them. But we are privileged in our place, in our space, in our time, to be God with skin on in loving the people around us in this world. You see, the God with skin on drives how we live. You know, as a family of God, we are privileged on a regular basis. For the Bridge, it's every weekend as we meet before this part of our service for a devotional service to receive the Lord's Supper. And as we receive the Lord's Supper, and as you attend the next time Lord's Supper, I would encourage you to think about your God with skin on, who walked this soil to free us from what would trap us, to give us vision to see beyond what our physical eyes see. And this is the God who, through his supper on a regular basis, takes the personal time to say to you and me, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood for you. I am the God with skin on, he says. And in me, all things are new. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, by virtue of your willingness to be our brother in the flesh, to be God with skin on, you have changed our world. That is unique. Of all the religions the world offers, only the true religion says that you, our God, took on flesh, stepped into our issue, stepped into our problem, that we might know your love, the forgiveness of sins, that we might know your love, eternal life, resurrection from death. We might know all of that because you are the God with skin on who fixed our condition, fixed our predicament, and gave us life eternal. And now you have asked us to be partners in your gospel ministry, to continue sharing you with a world that can't see you with physical eyes, but a world that we want to have see you with eyes of faith. So help us to continue to be to our world God with skin on. People who care, people who love by what we do, by what we say, by how we witness. And no matter the cage you would ever seem to place us in, help us always to remember that you are the God who helps us see beyond the horizons of this life and beyond the things that would seem to hem us in, that we have life eternal. And between now and that day, we are privileged to walk with you as our Savior, as our friend. So fill our hearts this day and always with love for others. Fill our lives with kindly acts as you loved us. And help people to know you as Savior God the way we know you. So thanks for feeding us today. Thanks for filling us with your word. Thanks for being our God with skin on. We pray in your name. Amen.